You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is brought to you by Stella Artois. When you're planning to enjoy everything Houston has to offer, especially all the great restaurants in our city, start with Estella. Whether you're going to eat with friends or solo, start with Estella. Stella Artois. Enjoy responsibly. Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is the episode where we talk about some news in the restaurant world and also share some opinions on a newly opened restaurant. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. He is a Houston hospitality veteran and a co-founder of the Houston Barbecue Festival. Michael Fulmer, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this. Let's dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, the Houston Chronicle has released its 2023 list of Houston's top 100 restaurants. Now, in the past, I've done a whole long article breakdown analysis of this list. I've praised it in some aspects. I've been critical of it in others. Frankly, Michael, I don't have the energy. So instead of doing all that, you and I are going to spend the next 5 or 10 minutes talking about this, and then I'm going to move on with my life, and I'll stop answering the DMs and text messages I've been getting since this list came out last week. So
I like it.
Let's just start with the top 10, just very briefly. Number one, Little's Oyster Bar. Number two, Totemo. Three, Street to Kitchen. Four, March. Five, Hamsa. Six, Theodore Rex. Seven, June. Eight, MF Sushi. Nine, Tim Ho Wan. And 10, Truth Barbecue. I know I kind of sped through that, but again, this is all on the Houston Chronicle website, and I'll link to it in the article that accompanies this episode for people, but shouldn't be that hard to find. Michael, let's just talk about number one, Little's Oyster Bar. This is the upscale seafood restaurant from Pappas Restaurants. It opened in May. You've been to Little's. I've been to Little's. Are you surprised that this is the Chronicle's choice as Houston's best restaurant?
Well, I'm absolutely surprised. Now, do I think it's worthy of being on the list? Do I think if it's worthy of being in the top 20? I absolutely do. You know, number one, I wouldn't put it there, but this is their list. I guess part of it is I think of, like, when I think, well, when you say, hey, what is the best restaurant? I think of some place that, you know, takes a few risks and meets those risks. You know, it has a greater ambition. And Little's, though, you know, it goes for excellence, to be sure. And its caviar program is something of a wonder. You know, I see it as a more safe place. I see it as a more safe choice in some ways. And so while I'm excited for the place and my experience there was nothing short of outstanding. I am surprised.
Yeah, no, I would agree with all of that. You know, I've been there, I think, 3 or 4 times. I've had delicious meals there, you know, and I don't have objective service experiences, though I will say the service has been very outstanding. I like the wine list. I like the cocktail program. I love the renovations to that building. I think they did a good job. I think the food is tasty. I think the menu is compelling. Lots of good choices. But at no time when I was sitting in that dining room did I think, man, this is Houston's best restaurant. Like it just hasn't occurred to me. And you say that, you know, in some ways it is kind of a risk for, it's very different for Pappas. you know, they made a big deal. They brought in that chef Jason Rysiak from California. They made a big deal about he's the executive chef. He worked hand in hand with the Pappas R&D team to develop this kind of quirky menu with grouper. And like you said, they put a big focus on caviar, and it's, you know, it doesn't have, right. It's not Little Pappas Reborn, right? It doesn't have fried shrimp. It doesn't have fried oysters. It, you know, they do that chicken fried snapper, but it's this big kind of shareable entree. So for Pappas, it's kind of a big risk, and I'm happy to see them be recognized and rewarded for taking that risk because they did pull it off so successfully. But yeah, this doesn't, it never occurred to me that this would be the best restaurant in Houston.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it's a big risk for them in the sense that, I mean, generally what they go for is for volume. You know, they tend to go for quality, but they tend to go for big volume, and it's a smaller place in that respect. You know, my hat's off to the whole team that put it together and that runs it. One of the things I felt that was very compelling was that, you know, I dined at their oyster bar, and I don't even want to sit at a table after that experience. The service was so good. I had such a good time there that I'd always want to sit there. And that speaks well to how well they're executing. But Houston doesn't really have that. Houston doesn't really have that upper end, you know, Michelin 3-star kind of reality. We don't have the Le Bernardin, you know, Atelier Cren kind of thing that would be, you know, kind of almost clearly in the discussion or maybe even a consensus for being at the top. And in some ways, that's a great thing about Houston dining is that, you know, there's not that kind of affectation of high-end dining, is that it's more accessible, it's more egalitarian. But that makes it more problematic to say, like, who's number one. So yes, this choice is a bit of a head scratcher, and that's what they've chosen to do. It's their list. Personally, you know, Tatsumo being number two, I'm really good with that because Tatsumo is amazing, and everything that they do and their commitment is just on a whole nother level. I would have chosen either Street to Kitchen or June. Some, you know, I've had discussion with friends, hey, it's too early for June. They're only been here a couple months, but June makes their list. And I think June is the kind of place that it has a uniqueness to it. It has a personality to it. It excels on, to me, every level of, you know, service, of food, of interesting menu, all of those things. That would have been my choice.
Yeah, I think June is definitely in the mix. I agree with you about Tatsumo. You know, I went back for the tasting menu in the last couple of months, and I was just blown away again by, you know, the unbelievable corn flavor that Chef Emmanuel and his team get in those tortillas, quesadillas, all the different dishes that they make, and the creativity and their use of ingredients. I mean, I had a tempura fried cod, fish taco that just the crispiness of the fish, the salsa, all the little components were so thoughtful and so tasty. I think that's probably my pick. And I think that to your point is, you know, without that kind of, there isn't maybe an obvious choice, and it does kind of come down to personal taste. I mean, if you wanted that kind of Michelin style ambition, service, refinement, you know, your choice would probably be March, right?
March or La Dernière. Yeah,
you know, exactly. That operates kind of at that, you know, 1-star, 2-star kind of level with the museum quality art and the custom furniture and the very elegant, you know, linens and silverware and, you know, the very refined tasting menu and the incredible wine cellar and all that stuff. So if you were just going for, if that were the criteria, right, what is the most polished fine dining experience, that is the best restaurant, then it would be March.
That would be a home run.
Right.
I agree.
So I think if the Chronicle wanted to sort of play it safe, they could have said March is the best restaurant in Houston. Everybody would have sort of said, yep, that makes sense. But what's the fun in that, Daddy? As someone who writes lists like this, I mean, you know, the whole point is to get people talking, right? You pick something that's a little bit offbeat, you drive the conversation a little bit, and you get people to argue with you in the comments. That's how the money is made. That's how you drive the traffic to the website.
When they chose Gulf Stroman last year, it was certainly all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Gulf Stroman, as much as I like the food at Gulf Stroman, that was a strange, I thought it was a strange choice last year. It's down at, I think it's down to 12 this year, which makes a little more sense to me. So, you know, right behind Navy Blue at 11, that all kind of plays. I think if I were doing this list, I think I probably would have had Navy Blue in the top five and Little's Oyster Bar somewhere in the teens. And outstanding. Well,
who would
restaurant.
You have for number one then? I'll put you on the spot.
No, I think it's Totemo. I think my last meal at Totemo kind of locked that in for me.
I like it.
With the criteria that when Street to Kitchen moves into its new space, I think that, you know, if that lives up to expectations, and we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But if the new Street to Kitchen kind of lives up to expectations and the ambitions of its owners, then that might be the sort of obvious choice next year.
Agreed.
All right. So let me just ask you a couple more things, then we'll move on. Did you see anything on that in the top 100 that you thought was particularly unworthy of the selection that just sort of got your proverbial hackles up?
Because
I have one with a bullet. I'm just offended by.
Okay, well, you asked me for, so nothing was really egregious in terms of what they put on there. Like, I didn't have any kind of horrific experience of like, what the hell is going on here? I did kind of scratch my head at Roots Wine Bar. I mean, this is a restaurant list. Wine bars have their own space, even if they serve a little bit of food. Is Roots really a restaurant? You know, there's a lot of other places, that worthy places, that could have taken their spot. But, you know, I don't find myself, you know, up late at night texting 9 friends about, you know, this incredible choice that how crazy it is. So, no, nothing really. It was more the omissions that got me. But you go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, Roots was definitely one that kind of caught my attention. Again, I've been there a few times. I think they've got a nice little food program. I think the self-service wine thing is cool. I think it's a really nice hangout spot in the East End. But no, it never occurred to me that I was eating it. One of Houston's very best restaurants when I was going there. And then the other one that just stuck out to me like a sore thumb is Bari. Becky Masson and I went there early and just had a meal with like fundamental cooking errors, things that weren't served at the proper temperature, things that weren't prepared properly. It was just kind of a disaster from start to finish. And I acknowledge that it was probably a better restaurant than what we experienced, but with so much good Italian food in this town, to overlook so many accomplished restaurants, that one really had me scratching my head. I do not understand Bari Ristorante as a top 100 Houston restaurant. Also, you're the barbecue guy. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 barbecue restaurants in the top 100. Does that seem, that sounds like a lot of barbecue to me, to be honest with you.
Well, as we all know, our friend Chris Reed is a contributor to this list, so his influence is definitely felt here, and I think worthy of that. I think all the choices, like to me, the top level, those top five, that top tier, are all represented here. You know, Truth making the list, which I think is a worthy choice.
Right, Truth is the only one in the rank. Truth is ranked 10. That's right, the only one in the top 25.
I would have put Corkscrew in the top 25 also. You know, my experiences at J Bar, you know, and I would like to be, you know, open that I worked there and I left there. I've gone back several times, you know, I get along fine with all those people. I didn't see them making the list. There's other places like Pinkerton's or Harlem Road or a few other places that I would have put in its place. But, you know, I'm not going to lose sleep over that necessarily either.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's roughly correct. I think Truth, Corkscrew, Killens. I mean, actually, I said 8, but it's 9 because Gatlin's is on the list too. So Truth, Corkscrew, Killens, Tejas, Blood Brothers, Fijus, J-Bar, Brett's, and Gatlin's, 9. And yeah, could you quibble with J-Bar and put in Pinkerton's or the Pit Room or Regal's? You probably could, but I think some of that comes down to taste. I like the ambition of J-Bar. I think, you know, obviously they had that sort of PR nightmare when Willow and Jasmine left early on. But I think they've righted the ship somewhat. So I think, you know, if that's what the Chronicle likes in barbecue, if they kind of like that, you know, the combination of barbecue and steakhouse and how ambitious it is, then, you know, I can respect that choice. All right. Here's my favorite part of this. And then we'll wrap this up. I have identified 8 restaurants that I think could have been in the top 100. I want you to just tell me yes or no, whether you agree with me that these should be in the list instead of some of what is on the list. I want to start with Candente, the Tex-Mex restaurant in Montrose.
Yes.
Ostia, the Italian restaurant in Montrose.
Yeah, I'm okay with no.
Okay. Rosie Cannonball, Italian, Mediterranean inspired, the casual companion to March.
Yes.
Kenny and Ziggy's, the quintessential Jewish deli.
Yes.
Il Bracco, Italian restaurant in the gallery area.
I've had great meals there. I love it there, but I'm okay with no.
Okay. Killen's STQ, Ronnie Killen's Live Fire Steakhouse, and also, if we're being fully honest, a restaurant that you work at.
Okay, I work at. So an absolute yes. So, I mean, clearly someone came in and had a bad experience that I wasn't aware of, and I feel bad about that. You know, but like full front, yes, I work there. So yes, all the way.
Yes, I agree with you. And then there's not really much pizza on the list. There's Tiny Champions and Cultivare. So I thought, what about Pizarro's, our beloved Montrose pizzeria?
Pizarro's is the best pizza in Houston. So yes.
All right. And then last one, State of Grace, seafood, steak, fine dining, River Oaks.
I love the chef, Bobby. I love the environment, but I'm okay with no. You know, sometimes you are making some tough choices. And even though I think the list you just listed, all these places are kind of worthy in that respect, you know, I'm going to have to go with no.
Yeah, I think Candente is the most egregious omission, because I think it's the best Tex-Mex restaurant in Houston. And I'm just shocked that, you know, we know Greg Morago, their food editor, who announced he's retiring at the end of the month, is a big Candente fan. We've seen him there. I'm surprised that Greg didn't have the spot for Candente on the list.
Yeah, I'm really surprised too. I think of the entire list, other than STQ, you know, I'm going to say Candente also, because it just, not only is it great Tex-Mex, but they incorporated, you know, the smoked element, and they did it, I think, just flawlessly.
All right, Fulmer, I'm going to say that does it for topic number one. Let us move on to topic number two. Kaiser Lashkari announced that he is opening Himalaya Culinary School in Sugar Land to teach his signature recipes to amateurs and professionals. I talked to Kaiser quite a bit about this. Kaiser's had this in development for several months, maybe even a year or more. And he has this vision of Himalaya is about to celebrate 20 years. He's thinking about his legacy and kind of perpetuating his legacy. And that he's decided that the best way to do that is to start teaching people how he prepares Indian and Pakistani fare, starting with, you know, sourcing spices and preparing them for the various curries and sauces that he makes, and then all of the little steps that go into dishes like, you know, fish masala, chicken hara masala, hunter's beef, all those classic dishes at Himalaya. So let me just ask you. You're a pretty accomplished home cook. If we know that because we follow you at Fulmer HRU, where you're always showing off on Instagram all the delicious things you make. What do you think? Would you take cooking classes from Kaiser Lashkari?
Oh, I totally would. Absolutely. Particularly, like, that's out of my comfort zone. And, you know, it's he obviously has his reputation as solid in terms of, like, what his food, the quality of his food, and his, you know, how he handles spice, and then also how he's incorporated, you know, sort of local gastronomic traditions into that, you know, doing chicken fried steak and fried chicken, things like that, and doing it like really well. Like he has some of the best fried chicken in town. He has, I think, the best flan in town, like, you know, at a Pakistani place. Are you kidding me? But what he does with, his traditional foods there, you know, the vindaloo and the masala is, yeah, I would be all in. You know, where do people go, like home chefs, you know, and people who are interested in cooking, where do they go for that?
Yeah, I think they go to Central Market. I think they go to Sur La Table. I think, I don't know, maybe HCC exactly. Has some classes, stuff like that. But I think, but the quality, you know, and I'm sure the quality of the instruction at places like that is very good, especially if you're an amateur looking to, you know, learn some recipes. But none of them are as accomplished as Kaiser. So you know, this is, I can't imagine that there's got a very short list of people in Houston or anywhere else who would be as knowledgeable when it comes to how to prepare these dishes as he is.
Yeah. And as opposed to him like guesting at one of those places, which they don't really do that often. Sometimes Central Market does, not so much at Sur La Table. I think it's a great idea. So, if it plays for the long run, I'm going to support it. I think it's an exciting choice. It's something that's, been, proliferating in the barbecue world, to be sure. When you see, places like Goldie's, or
Leroy and Lewis in Austin's made a big deal about their
Leroy
classes.
Leroy and Lewis in Austin, consistently and charging it's not an inexpensive proposition, and their classes fill up. Now that's the world of barbecue. I'd love to see Kaiser become successful with this, and I would be certainly a willing participant and willingly pay for it.
Yeah, I think he's got this idea of a 6 to 8 week curriculum where you'd go, every Sunday morning for a couple of months, and he would sort of build, he'd start you with the very, very basics and then kind of build you up as you go along, because he doesn't think it can be done, in an afternoon. He doesn't really want, he wants people who are serious, and I respect that. And then the other thing I know he would want me to mention is that he's planning to donate some of the proceeds to various local organizations that feed the homeless. It's he takes hunger very seriously, and he wants to do his part to help feed hungry people. And I have just a tremendous amount of respect for that.
Well, I think that's great. I mean, I've certainly never left there hungry. No,
No, you will never leave MLA hungry.
All right. All levity aside, I think that's the interesting dynamic is, everyone has busy lives. And despite maybe what you want to do, can he get people to commit to that as a time thing? Time will tell. That'll be for him to figure out week in, week out. But is his reputation well, established? Yes, it is.
Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to topic number three. As I mentioned earlier, Street to Kitchen has set November 11th as the opening date for their new location in the former Cafe Louis space. They're going to more than double their seating capacity from about 40 people to about 100. With more people means a slightly bigger menu from Chef Benchawan Painter, who everyone calls Chef G, and a bigger wine and cocktail program from her husband, Graham. Fulmer, let me just ask you, what are your expectations for this new iteration of Street to Kitchen?
I mean, there's nothing sure in this world, and the restaurant world is full of so many variables. It's a difficult, even when you have everything in place. I've never seen anything that seemed like more of a potential home run than this, than doubling their size. I mean, it's been a meteoric rise. We haven't seen this kind of just like steady and incredible success since probably like the Blood Brothers, since they launched, the amount of, press and adulation, and well-founded for that matter. I think Street to Kitchen is certainly one of the best restaurants in town. Every meal I've had has been fantastic. And the first couple of times I went there, I left there emotional, which is like, how does that even happen in a meal? And that's amazing. Like, I don't even know how to articulate that. I mean, it's like, it's incredible. Barring like just egregious mismanagement, that I don't see how it can't be successful, because, everyone I know who goes there enjoys it. She's got the James Beard Award. More and more people just want to go there. Their biggest problem, their number one problem, is they just can't accommodate everybody. And that's a great problem to have. And this is the obvious solution.
No, I think that's all well said. I agree with all of that. We think about, it was just 3 years ago, the summer of 2020, when they opened in that location next to the gas station. And since it had been a fried chicken restaurant, they thought, oh, okay, then we need to do fried chicken for the neighborhood. And they, that was a big part of what they were doing. And very quickly they figured out that there was a real audience for Chef G's, very traditional Thai dishes made with these like high quality local ingredients, and that they didn't have to, they could kind of follow their own muse. And they started out BYOB, and then they got a beer and wine license and added the wine program. And it's just, you know, it's built momentum and it's built momentum. And then, like you said, she won her James Beard Award this year, the first Houstonian to win Best Chef Texas. So it's an astonishing, like a classic American dream kind of story that we don't see very often in the restaurant business. And so, yes, I think this bigger location, as long as it's managed well, as long as, you know, Chef G and Graham are focused on maintaining their quality and taking advantage of this opportunity, I do think it will remain in the mix as for consideration as one of Houston's very best restaurants. And so I can't wait to dine there. I mean, I'm excited to go there next month and have my first meal there.
Yeah, I mean, this was never going to be a solid deal. They were the classic hole in the wall in this kind of obscure spot on the east side. It was problematic to find even with like Google Maps. Sometimes it was, some people looked at it as like sort of a dicey part of town, depending on what time you were there. But you know, everything about them, what they said is like, we are going to be uncompromising in what we do. And they stayed the course. And like, I think you summed it up really well. It's like this kind of great American success story. And who doesn't like that, you know? So man, I'm excited, and I will continue to support them in every shape and manner, both by telling my friends to go there and supporting it with my own money.
Absolutely. All right, Fulmer, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Michael, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Coastline Artisan Pizzeria. This is a new restaurant in First Ward. It's right there on Houston Avenue next to Cafe Brussels. They serve a couple of different styles of pizza. They do a pretty classic wood-fired Neapolitan and also a less traditional grilled pizza. Now, we were not able to dine there together, but we have dined there separately. So let me just ask you, what did you think of your meal at Coastline Artisan Pizzeria?
Okay, so I've only been once, and I only had the Neapolitan and the Napoletana, pizzas. I tried a couple of those, classic margarita. I talked with the staff, and he actually, after discussion, changed my selection to a different one, which means like, one, the staff knows what they're talking about with the menu. I had really good service. Was very knowledgeable as well. And my pizzas were excellent. Like, this is what you want from a Neapolitan pizza is that crust has just that little bit of char underneath it. The fermentation is just right so that there's a little bit of chewiness to it. I was sitting close to their oven. So you see it, come out in like 90 seconds. And, truth to what makes this work is like the quality of ingredients. I mean, that's kind of like the tenet of great Italian food is that it's not about a lot of ingredients. It's not about complicated execution. It's about quality of ingredients and how you use them. And they seem to do a really good job. It wasn't this overwhelmed with too many things. Everything seemed to complement itself. I had something called the Fresca, which had these roasted tomatoes on it, a little bit of arugula and goat cheese. They did this little balsamic demi-glaze over it with some high quality prosciutto di Parma. Man, I would go back for that every time. Some simple shishito peppers I had beforehand. They added a little bit of lime to it, a touch of Parmesan. So it was just this great beginning. But the thing that really, I enjoyed the food. That's out there. All right. Okay. But it's the vibe that really got me. This felt like the kind of, like this is kind of like a New York neighborhood place and not in the kind of sort of affectation. I didn't feel like I was in Epcot Center, it just really felt very much like that. Like I want this to be in my neighborhood. And that speaks incredibly well.
No, I agree with you. I think that the nice part about their Neapolitan pizza is that it's not necessarily like strictly traditional Neapolitan, because Neapolitan, like really traditionally Neapolitan can be a little bit damp in the center, right? Like it has that kind of you know, you definitely need a fork and knife to eat it. And they're cooking their Neapolitan just a little bit crispier, more in the kind of, you know, Crisbianco tradition, or like what Angelo Emiliani does at Angie's Pizza. And it just, that little extra crunch, that slightly extra doneness just makes all the difference for me in terms of my enjoyment of the pizza. And, you know, you talk about the atmosphere. It you know, it's got these brick walls. It's got this kind of long, narrow dining room. It's got, you know, you could see the oven right there glowing away. It's very appealing. It's got a good energy to it. It's got that kind of neighborhoody kind of quality where it just feels like, you know, people in the dining room kind of know each other. That I really enjoyed. And I just think, you know, we're in a wave of new pizza, right? That just we can't open. You know, we've talked about Nono's and Elro and all these other places and they all have their own merits. But, you know, and I think what Coastline is doing is really special. And I'm glad we got to try it. I'm glad it's open. I'm glad I'm a little bit jealous of all the pizza, of all the people in First Ward who can go there a lot more regularly than
right?
I would be able to.
Right. But they deserve it because there's not a whole lot over there. And that speaks well to that. They have a great beverage program. And then, you know, true to their Texas roots, you know, one of the owners is good friends with Don Wynn of Koi Barbecue. You know, and we I talked to Don recently that he's, you know, his offsite place where he smokes is, you know, less than 10 minutes from there. And we'll soon going to see Koi Barbecue Brisket on one of their pizzas.
Yeah, on the grilled pizza, right? On the kind of the oblong.
Yes, not on the.
Not on the Neapolitan, and that makes sense. I don't think the Neapolitan crust would hold up to the brisket. But you know, but I did have one of the grilled pies, and I will say I really like it. It's got a nice crunch. It's got a good texture. It's a little bit chewy in a good way, and it's sturdier. And so, you know, they can do, you know, they call it the OG mozzarella, Italian sausage, pepperoncinis, ricotta, habanero honey, basil, and tomato sauce, right? You can pile stuff on there and the crust is sturdy enough to kind of stand up to it. So I like that. I like that you have both, right? I like that they're not just committed to one style and they say that they're going to start doing monthly specials. They'll, you know, they may fool around with a Detroit or a New York or some of these other styles of pizza. So, you know, a lot of ambition for a little restaurant and I think that's all to the good.
Yeah, you see the ambition there. I mean, they've even got a gluten. You can even get a gluten-free pizza. Like to have to do a whole extra prep for gluten-free is a pain in the ass. Like you have to keep it so separate, and that's a small place. But they're doing that, you know, and just offering it for a couple bucks more, and that speaks well. And like a lot of new places, particularly smaller places, you know, they don't take cash. You know, that lowers the, you know, the issues of break-ins and problems where that's resolved. And increasingly we see that coming more in our society anyway, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Right. I have mixed feelings about that. Cause I think it excludes people who don't necessarily like who rely on cash, but certainly, you know, the number of times that I pay for anything in cash other than tipping a valet is pretty rare these days. So, you know, I understand
and
my restaurant.
Valets now take, you know, Venmo and Zelle.
Yes, they know? Do. And I avail myself of that frequently. all right. So as we say,
I was going to ask you, how was like, cause I didn't get to try it. How was the habanero honey? Because that was just like screaming to me. I wanted to try it so much and I'll be back for it. But what did you think?
No, I liked it as a pizza topping, you know, sweet and spicy is always a good combo for me. So I thought it went well with the kind of the creamy ricotta and the sausage, I thought, and those pepperoncinis had a little bit of zip to them too. So it all came together really well. I think the toppings are pretty thoughtful. I think, you know, it's obvious that they put some effort into figuring out like what works on the different crusts. You know, as we always say, the standard for us is, will you go back?
Absolutely.
Me too. All right, Michael, I'm going to say that does it for the restaurant of the week. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
That does it for today's show. Join me next time when I will be joined by Keith Jacoby and Leela Ortiz from the Hotel Lucene.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.